A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one, and I think he's pointing at something that's been hiding in plain sight. You know the DNS explanation everyone uses, the friendly postman who resolves your internet request to a known address. He's wondering whether that metaphor, as useful as it is, might actually be quietly failing a huge chunk of the people we're trying to teach. Because, here's the thing, when's the last time you actually mailed a letter?
For me it's been, and I'm someone who grew up checking the mailbox every day. The U.S. Postal Service has seen mail volume drop something like 40% since 2010. So if you're 20 years old today, the whole concept of stamps and postmen and physical mail sorting offices might be about as familiar as a rotary phone.
Which means we've got this weird situation where the go-to metaphor for explaining how the internet works is built on something that's increasingly foreign to the people learning how the internet works.
Daniel's question goes deeper than just the postal thing aging out. He's asking whether we need to be deliberate about which metaphor we reach for, especially across cultures, across different ways of thinking. Because humans are, as he put it, wildly different in how we process these things.
Some brains seem to light up with a good analogy, and for other people, the metaphor is just noise that gets in the way of the actual mechanism. And if you're explaining DNS to someone in rural Nigeria versus someone in Connecticut, versus someone who processes language very literally, is the postman really the best tool in your belt?
What I love about this question is that it takes something we all do without thinking, reach for the standard analogy, and asks us to treat it as an actual design decision. Like metaphor choice as a feature of technical communication, not just decorative language.
Daniel specifically called out the rainforest as an alternative framework, which I appreciate. Sloths have been explaining things via canopy layers for millennia.
I'm going to need a citation on that.
Lost to history, unfortunately. Very convenient, I know.
The core tension here is real. The postal metaphor for DNS is everywhere. It's in textbooks, it's in YouTube explainers, it's in certification training. It's so baked in that we barely notice it's a metaphor at all. And that's exactly when metaphors get dangerous, when they become invisible, when we mistake them for the thing itself.
Where do we even start with this?
I think we start by unpacking the metaphor everyone knows and being honest about what it gets right and where it leaks. Then we can look at what happens when you swap in a completely different mental model, say a rainforest canopy, and ask whether some audiences would actually understand DNS better that way.
Then the bigger question, is there actual research on who benefits from metaphor and who doesn't? Because if 15 or 20% of people process analogies differently, that's not a rounding error. That's millions of people who might be nodding along to your postman explanation and walking away with a mental model that doesn't actually work.
And Daniel's point about snail mail dying off, that's the half-life problem. Some metaphors have expiration dates. The question is how you pick ones that'll still land in a decade. Let's actually sit with that half-life problem for a second, because the numbers are starker than most people realize. The U.S. Postal Service handled about 170 billion pieces of mail in 2010. By 2024, that was down to around 110 billion. And it's not just the U.S. Global letter mail has been in free fall for 15 years. The generation now entering the workforce has never licked a stamp.
Which means, when you tell a 22-year-old that DNS is like a postman checking an address book, you're actually asking them to map a concept they don't understand onto a concept they also don't understand. That's not a metaphor anymore. It's two unknowns stacked in a trench coat.
That's the thing Daniel's really getting at. The postal metaphor isn't just aging out for young Westerners. It was never universal to begin with. There are huge parts of the world where centralized postal delivery was never the dominant model. In a lot of rural India, mail gets delivered to a community elder or a local shop, not to individual homes. In parts of sub-Saharan Africa, the idea of a uniformed postman showing up at your door is basically fiction.
The metaphor doesn't just fail, it actively misleads. Someone whose experience of message delivery is, I walk to the village center and ask around, is going to build a completely wrong mental model of how DNS queries propagate.
Here's where the research gets interesting. There was a 2023 study by the Internet Society that looked at exactly this. They ran DNS training in regions with low postal literacy using two different analogies. The standard postman metaphor versus a local market directory metaphor, where you ask a stall owner who sends you to the right stall. The group that got the market metaphor scored 34% higher on troubleshooting tests.
34%? That's not a subtle nudge. That's the difference between someone who can actually fix a DNS issue and someone who just nods along and then calls IT.
And this is what I mean when I say metaphor choice is a design decision. If you were building a user interface and 34% of your users couldn't complete a core task, you'd call that a broken interface. But because metaphors feel like just language, we don't apply the same rigor.
The episode we're walking into is really about three layers. First, what's actually inside the postal metaphor, what it maps correctly, where it leaks, and what it hides entirely. Second, what happens when you swap in a completely different framework, like the rainforest canopy Daniel mentioned, and whether that maps the mechanics more faithfully for certain audiences.
Then the third layer, the neuroscience of who actually benefits from metaphor in the first place. Because it turns out some brains process analogical reasoning very differently than others, and if you're designing technical communication for everyone, you need to know that.
We'll land on something practical. Not just metaphors are tricky, but an actual framework for auditing which analogy you reach for, testing whether it works, and knowing when to pair it with a literal explanation.
The goal being, stop treating the postman like he's inevitable. He's not. He's just one model among many, and for a growing number of people, he's not even a familiar one. Let's trace where this thing actually came from. DNS was designed in 1983 by Paul Makapetras and John Postel. These were guys who grew up in a world where mail was the primary long-distance communication for anything that wasn't an emergency phone call. The postal framing wasn't some carefully chosen pedagogical strategy. It was probably just the most natural mental model available to them.
They reached for what was in their pockets. And for that generation, it mapped beautifully. Domain name is the recipient's name. The DNS server is the post office doing the lookup. The IP address is the street address. And the top-level domain is basically the country code on the envelope.
At the surface level, it works. The problem is what it doesn't explain and what it actively obscures. In the postal metaphor, there's no equivalent of, I remembered the address from last time, so I didn't need to look it up. The postman checks the address book every single time. But in DNS, caching is everything. It's why the system doesn't collapse under its own weight.
Right, and TTL, time to live, is even harder to map. The postal metaphor has no concept of this address is only valid for 300 seconds, then you have to check again. Mail either gets delivered or it doesn't. There's no expiration date on knowing where someone lives.
Then you hit recursive versus iterative queries, and the postal metaphor just throws up its hands. A recursive query is, I'll do all the legwork, just wait here, which is not how postmen work. An iterative query is, here's who to ask next, which is closer, but still doesn't capture the chain of referrals. Cryptographic verification that the response hasn't been tampered with? The postal metaphor has no analog for that at all.
What you get is a listener who thinks they understand DNS, because the postman's story feels complete, but their mental model has giant holes where caching, TTL, recursion, and security should be. They've been given a false sense of understanding.
That's the real danger. A metaphor that feels satisfying but maps only 60% of the mechanism is worse than no metaphor at all, because it convinces people they don't need to learn more.
Which brings us to Daniel's rainforest suggestion. And I have to say, for someone who doesn't live in one, he's onto something.
He really is. Picture DNS as a layered forest canopy. Each tree is a DNS server, and each tree knows which nearby trees have certain fruits. Those are the IP addresses. A query starts at the forest floor, moves up through the understory to the canopy, and gets passed between layers until someone says, oh, that fruit, three trees over, second branch.
Catching becomes intuitive immediately. Squirrels remember where the fruit is. They don't need to search every time. TTL is just how long before the fruit rots, and you need to check again. It's visceral, it's memorable, and it actually maps the mechanism.
Recursion maps beautifully, too. A monkey on the forest floor asks a mid-canopy monkey, who asks an upper-canopy monkey, who knows which tree has the fruit, and the answer comes back down the same chain. That's a recursive query. And the iterative version is, the upper monkey points and says, ask that tree. Referrals down the chain.
What I love is that the rainforest metaphor doesn't assume centralized infrastructure. A forest is distributed. There's no single post office running the show. That maps the actual architecture of DNS more faithfully than the postal model ever did, and it doesn't require you to have grown up with mail delivery to grasp it.
The Internet Society study Daniel flagged 34% improvement in troubleshooting scores when they swapped the postal metaphor for a local market directory in regions with low postal literacy. That's not theoretical. That's actual people being failed by a metaphor that someone assumed was universal.
It's almost like the postal metaphor is a pair of glasses with someone else's prescription. If your eyes match, great. If they don't, you're walking into walls and blaming your own vision. The cultural mismatch is only half the problem, because even if you find a metaphor that matches someone's cultural background, their brain might still process it completely differently than you expect.
This is where the neuroscience gets genuinely surprising. There was a 2022 study out of the University of Edinburgh that looked at how autistic individuals process metaphor. What they found is that many rely more on explicit semantic networks. They're mapping literal meanings, rather than the analogical leap that neurotypical brains tend to make automatically.
For someone with that cognitive profile, the postman isn't a helpful bridge to understanding DNS. The postman is just a confusing extra character who has nothing to do with computers.
And it's not just autism. A 2024 meta-analysis in cognition pulled together something like 40 studies and found that roughly 15 to 20% of the general population has what they call low metaphor aptitude. These are people who, when you give them an analogy, do better if you just explain the mechanism directly.
15 to 20%. That's 1 in 5 people in your audience who are sitting there thinking, why is this person talking about monkeys in a forest? Just tell me what the server does.
And here's the dual process model that explains why. Metaphor comprehension lights up two different brain networks. The left hemisphere handles semantic integration, fitting the words into existing knowledge. But the right hemisphere is what makes the novel connection, the leap between domains. People with stronger right hemisphere connectivity tend to process metaphors faster and get more out of them.
Which means for some people, a good metaphor is the thing that makes the whole concept click. For others, it's literally just noise that their brain has to filter out before they can get to the actual information.
This isn't a deficit in either direction. It's just variance. Creative professionals often show faster metaphor processing, which makes intuitive sense. Connecting disparate ideas is basically the job description. But an engineer who thinks in systems and causal chains might find the same metaphor distracting.
You've got cultural mismatch on one axis and cognitive mismatch on another. And the standard approach to technical communication is to pick one metaphor and spray it at everyone.
Which brings us to Deirdre Gentner's work at Northwestern. She spent decades studying how different languages structure analogical reasoning, and one of her findings is that the spatial orientation of metaphors varies dramatically across cultures. Mandarin speakers, for instance, tend to use vertical spatial metaphors for time, up and down, rather than front and back. So, if you build a DNS metaphor around forwarding queries and looking back at previous results, you've baked in a horizontal spatial assumption that doesn't map for a huge number of speakers.
That's subtle, but devastating. Your metaphor is smuggling in a directional framework that half your audience doesn't share, and you don't even know you're doing it.
When you stack all this together, cultural background, cognitive style, linguistic structure, the idea that one metaphor fits all starts to look less like a simplification and more like a quiet form of exclusion.
What do we actually do about it? Because we can't just throw up our hands and say metaphors are impossible. They're too useful.
No, the answer is to treat metaphor choice as a design decision with actual methodology behind it. There's a framework that's been gaining traction called the metaphor audit. The idea is simple. For any complex concept you need to explain, prepare at least 3 distinct metaphors from completely different domains, say, postal, ecological, and culinary. Don't just pick the one that feels right to you.
Actually test them.
and not by asking, does this make sense? Because people will nod along to anything that sounds plausible. You measure comprehension with a short quiz, 5 questions that require them to use the metaphor to reason about the system. If they can't do that, the metaphor is leaking.
There was a 2024 Cisco training pilot in Nigeria that did exactly this. They replaced the postal metaphor with a village messenger network analogy. Messengers relay queries through village elders. Each elder knows a piece of the puzzle. Post-training test scores jumped 27% compared to the standard postal module.
27%. And what's striking is that the village messenger metaphor maps the hierarchical, recursive nature of DNS more faithfully than the postman ever did. A messenger who doesn't know the answer doesn't give up. They ask the next elder up the chain. That's recursion. The elder remembers the answer for next time. That's caching.
It doesn't require anyone to know what a post office is. The metaphor fits the audience instead of asking the audience to fit the metaphor.
There was even a tool presented at the 2025 ACM SIGDOC conference called Metaphor Matcher. It takes audience demographics, age, region, cultural context, and suggests analogies that are more likely to land. It's early stage, but the fact that it exists says something about where technical communication is heading.
It says we're finally admitting that the universal metaphor was always a fiction, and the practical takeaway here is actionable. Before you explain anything complex, build a metaphor portfolio. 3 options, different domains. Rotate based on who's in the room.
For neurodiverse audiences specifically, the rule is metaphor is scaffold, not building. You pair the analogy with the literal mechanism. You say DNS is like a messenger network. Here's the image, and here's what's actually happening. A resolver sends a UDP packet to port 53, the server checks its cache, if there's a miss, it walks the delegation chain. The metaphor opens the door, but you don't make people live in it.
Otherwise, you've built a beautiful bridge that deposits half your listeners in a river.
Which brings us to the half-life problem Daniel raised. Snail mail is dying. The cloud metaphor is already overloaded. It means about 6 different things depending on who's talking. If you're choosing a metaphor for documentation that's supposed to last, you need to pick a source domain that's not going to be culturally extinct in 10 years.
Ecosystems don't go obsolete. Social networks, not the apps. The actual concept of people relaying information through connections, that's been around since we lived in caves. Games, same thing. The mechanics change, but the idea of rules, turns, and objectives is pretty durable.
A good rule of thumb, if your metaphor relies on a specific technology or institution, assume it has an expiration date. If it relies on something humans have been doing for millennia, navigating physical space, preparing food, trading, telling stories, it's probably got legs.
The framework Daniel's question points toward is actually 4 things. Build a metaphor portfolio, at least 3 options from different domains. Test them with actual comprehension quizzes, not vibe checks. For neurodiverse audiences, always pair the metaphor with the literal mechanism. And audit your metaphors for half-life. If the source domain is fading from cultural relevance, retire it before it retires you.
I'd add a 5th, which is implicit in everything we've said. The person choosing the metaphor should not be the person testing it. Because the metaphor that feels obvious to you feels obvious precisely because it matches your own cognitive and cultural defaults. You're the worst person to judge whether it works for anyone else. Here's the question I keep coming back to. In 5 years, most of the explainer content online is going to be generated by AI. Those systems are going to be choosing metaphors for millions of people simultaneously. What do they default to?
The statistical average. Unless someone explicitly builds in the metaphor audit logic, the model's going to reach for whatever analogy appears most often in its training data, which is the postal metaphor, over and over, forever.
That's the nightmare scenario. An AI that's technically explaining DNS correctly, but using a metaphor that doesn't land for a huge chunk of its users, and nobody notices because the explanation sounds fluent.
The optimistic version is that these systems eventually adapt in real time. You tell the AI you grew up in rural Kenya, or that you process information better with spatial models than verbal ones, and it reaches for a completely different metaphor. Village messengers instead of postmen. A forest canopy instead of a phone book.
That's actually where things get even more interesting. Because, as augmented reality and virtual reality interfaces mature, we might not be limited to verbal metaphors at all. Imagine actually walking through a DNS resolution as a physical journey. You see the query leave your device, travel to the resolver, climb through the root servers like ascending through layers of a building, branch out to the TLD name servers, and finally arrive at the authoritative server. The metaphor becomes the interface.
You're not hearing about the forest canopy. You're in it, reaching for the fruit yourself.
That changes the whole equation. Spatial metaphors don't require cultural familiarity with a specific institution. They hook into something much older, the fact that we're all embodied creatures who understand the world by moving through it.
Which makes me wonder whether the whole project of finding the perfect verbal metaphor is actually a temporary problem. Maybe we're in this awkward middle period between purely textual explanation and fully spatial, experiential ones.
Or maybe the spatial interface just becomes another metaphor in the portfolio, and we still need to match it to the person. Some people will learn DNS better by walking through it. Some will still prefer a clean diagram and a literal explanation. The principle doesn't change. Know your audience, test your metaphor, and don't mistake the model for the mechanism.
Daniel's question ends up pointing somewhere bigger than DNS. It's really about whether we're willing to do the work of actually communicating, or whether we're just going to keep handing people the same pair of glasses and telling them to squint harder.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the 1950s, researchers at a muon-catalyzed fusion lab in the Yukon discovered that the concrete walls of their containment chamber produced an unexpected resonant frequency of 1,111 Hz when the muon beam was active, a tone they described in their logbook as the universe humming slightly sharp of C-sharp.
Right. One thing before we go. If you explain technical concepts to anyone, students, coworkers, users, yourself, try the metaphor portfolio approach. Pick something you explain regularly. Write down three completely different analogies from different domains and test them on someone. You'll learn something about the concept and about your audience. That's the whole point.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Our producer is Hilbert Flumingtop. If you want to send us a question like Daniel did, email the show at show@myweirdprompts.com.
Or find everything at myweirdprompts.com. We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth's slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long ear host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.